Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. You know, I say that so often, but I just, for the sake of new people who come, who listen for the first time, I want to make sure that they know who this is who's trying to share their thoughts with you about the Gospels. So here we go. Today is the first Tuesday of the fourth week in ordinary time. We're back to ordinary time. Nothing's ordinary with God, but meaning we're not right in the middle of great feasts. And we hear from 2 Samuel, Absalom unexpectedly came up against David's servants. He was mounted on a mule, and as the mule passed under the branches of a large terebinth, his hair caught fast in the tree. He hung between heaven and earth while the mule that he had been riding ran off. Someone saw this and reported to Joab that he had seen Absalom hanging from a terebinth, and taking three pikes in hand, he thrust for the heart of Absalom, still hanging from the tree alive. Now, David was sitting between the two gates, and a lookout went up to the roof of the gate above the city wall, where he looked about and saw a man running all alone. The lookout shouted to inform the king, who said, "If he is alone, he has good news to report." The king said, "Step aside and remain in attendance here." So he stepped aside and remained there. And when the Cushite messenger came in, he said, "Let my lord the king receive the good news that this day the Lord has taken your heart, freeing you from the grasp of all who rebelled against you." But the king asked the Cushite, "Is young Absalom safe?" The Cushite replied, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rebel against you with evil intent be as that young man." The king was shaken, and he went up to the room over the city gate to weep. He said as he wept, "My son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you, Absalom, my son, my son." Joab was told that the king was weeping and mourning for Absalom, and that day's victory was turned into mourning for the whole army when they heard that the king was grieving for his son. Any of us who have lost a child, under whatever circumstances, how difficult that is. How very difficult that is. I've stood beside parents who've undergone that ordeal, and it's just very, very hard. We know if they've been living a decent life that God will welcome them to heaven after we go through a time of purgatory. But brothers and sisters, just pray for them and do not fear. If you pray for them and ask God to bless them and take care of them, you'll see them in heaven. Don't be afraid. The responsorial psalm for today, Psalm 86. Lord, listen and answer me. Incline your ear, O Lord, to me. This is for us. This is not just a scripture verse to think about. This is a prayer for us to make before the Lord. Listen, Lord. Please answer me. Incline your ear, O Lord. Answer me, for I am afflicted and poor. Keep my life, for I am devoted to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Listen, Lord, and answer me. Have mercy on me, O Lord, For to you I call all the day, glad in the soul of your servant. For to you, Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in kindness to all who call upon you. Hearken, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the sound of my pleading. Whenever you're in difficult circumstances, this psalm is a wonderful psalm to pray. Please, Lord, help me. Please, Lord, listen to me. You know what you're carrying. Always, always turn to the Lord first. Yes, you can turn to friends and neighbors and family, yes, for help. But take it first to the Lord. Ask him to help you. Lord, listen and answer me. That's not a command. You're begging him, and he will hear you. And now we take a look at the gospel. Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please, come lay your hands on her that she may be well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciple said to him, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him. He entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, rose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this, and said that she should be given something to eat. Just think of that. In the midst of a miracle, to see that he was giving them orders that she should be given something to eat. I mean, it's such a fatherly thing to do, or a motherly thing to do. That was their first thought, give her something to eat. And yet Jesus looked around and at all of them and said, give her something to eat, she will be fine. Can you imagine what that would be like for a mother or for a father? A tiny child, so little. Brothers and sisters, you are so loved by God. Have faith for any of the circumstances you've been in. Have faith. Ask God for help. Don't just despair. I want to read something from Venerable Madeleine de Brie, who was a French laywoman. She was a writer to Caring for the Poor. And this is what she said in part. I'm only reading part of it. Life has the job of preparing us for death, and it knows its job well. We only have to listen to life, watch it well, and follow it. It explains death to us little by little, or in one fell swoop, depending on the day, sometimes without doing us any harm at all, at other times tearing us apart with grief, sometimes by underlying the small deaths that we endure each day, at others by laying out in death those whom we love more than our own selves. Brothers and sisters, God so loves us. We learn about death as we comb our hair in the morning and find that our hair is getting thin, when the tooth has been aching for a long time, which leaves us. When our skin wrinkles at the corners of our eyes, we can say as we tell some trifling story, 2 years ago, 20 or 30 years ago, when each year they come with flowers to wish us a happy birthday, flowers which are slightly suggestive of the cemetery and that they celebrate one less year to go. Oh, brothers and sisters, we learn about death at every reunion with those who preserve our childhood and among whom we remain children, or when our memory starts to slip away from us and our mobility is not what it was. These parts of our nature, death invades early. We learn about death each time we are torn definitively from our loved ones. For even though our faith, our hope of reunion, and even our love for them affirm our joy, the joy of knowing that they have gone home, we ourselves remain with our blood protesting and our flesh torn and hurt that they have the joy of going home. God bless you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.